Hi, this is Julie Christensen with APSE. We're excited to launch the APSE Employment First, Employment for All podcast as a new way to connect with you. This podcast is a way to provide updates, real-time advocacy alerts, and information related to all things Employment First. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. And thanks for listening.
Yes, continue introducing. Perfect. Hi, everyone. My name is Kari Tija, and you got to just see a quick photo of me up on the screen, smiling, joining with you this afternoon. I was mentioning I'm joining from Des Moines, Iowa, where it is sunny and it is cold and snowy. As I'm looking at the attendees, I see quite a few names in Iowa that I recognize, as well as from across the United States. So thanks for joining today. I'll let Dale introduce himself, but we are here today to speak on behalf of two organizations, entities, ACRE and APSE. We'll get into those in just a little bit. My background I wanted to share. I came to this work by becoming a job coach, job developer, going through an ACRE training, being trained by my peers at a fabulous community rehabilitation provider based here in Des Moines, Iowa. I earned my CESP credential in 2015. And then when National APSE, the role to oversee the credential, opened up, I jumped on board. I've been working from home from APSE for the last 3.5 years and get to really work on both our certification, which we'll delve into today, as well as great projects involved with subject matter experts, job coaches, job developers, employment support professionals from across the United States and internationally to focus on improving employment for people with disabilities. So that's my background. I was involved with the committee in developing this document, the guidelines. The CESP we'll delve into has a council that oversees it, and I am here representing APSE with that. Dale, I'll turn it over to you to introduce yourself and transition us in.
Great. Thank you, Kari. So nice to be with all of you this afternoon and have a chance to talk about these guidelines. First, an introduction for myself. Been in the field for over 30 years and currently employed at Transcend Incorporated, which is a private not-for-profit organization based in Rockville, Maryland. And I work on a broad range of employment for people with disability-related projects, both at the transition and adult ages. Been involved with ODEP, both for the Employment First initiatives and then now with the NEON project as a subject matter expert. But this afternoon, I'm also representing the ACRE Board of Directors. And how this presentation and this document, the state guidelines, came about was more states were starting to require either the ACRE certificate or the CESP certification for employment specialists in their state. And as that started to happen, different states were making that requirement differently. Each one was doing it a little bit different. And some were requiring an ACRE certificate for everybody that works with people with disabilities. Some it was specific to employment staff. And they had different deadline dates as to this requirement to obtain the ACRE certificate. So we're getting a lot of information from our members at the ACRE Association, who are all training organizations. And they were saying that they're getting a lot of calls. People had to get this certificate. They needed to get it by a certain date. And so all the members and then through our board of directors at ACRE approached APSE and said, we really need to kind of offer up some ways that we can continue to encourage the state requirements around an ACRE certificate or the CSP certification. But we want to do it in a way that is thoughtful and in a way that both the people that need to get this training and organizations like ours at ACRE that needed to kind of respond to this demand for folks to get the ACRE certificate and then ultimately the CSP certification. So we're going to start there just by explaining kind of the differences as we see it. So ACRE is the Association of Community Rehabilitation Educators, and I am the board president for the ACRE board. We have 9 members of our ACRE board, and I've been in that position for, I think this will be my 8th year. So when we were kind of talking about this, one of the things that we decided at ACRE was that we needed to have a consistent set of competencies. And so the history of ACRE started when we all, as training organizations, started to get together and voluntarily decided we needed to have a standard set of competencies so that we're all training off of those same competencies. And that's what started the development of those competencies and ultimately the creation of the ACRE Association. And to make the distinction, we offer a certificate that consists of 40 hours, a minimum of 40 hours of instruction on these established competencies. And, the other thing is some of those competencies are skill-based, and we have a requirement that all those skill-based competencies are applied. And so that's really what ACRE does as an association, is it reviews the curriculum that ACRE members submit to us. We look for those standards that we've established, and if those standards are met, we issue ACRE certificates. And we currently have approximately 30 organizational members, of which I believe the number is 24 that do offer some sort of an ACRE certificate. Those ACRE recipients of the certificate are kept in a registry, which we maintain at our website. So what we want to make the distinction is that we train folks to get an ACRE certificate based on those standards. And I'll let Kari explain a little bit more about the certification, but the big distinction is that the certification is based on the demonstration of competency. So they test for competency. We at ACRE do not. What we do is assure anybody that they're getting a certain standard of training and that these competencies are all being addressed and that it's done so for a minimum of 40 hours of instruction. There's a document that we're basically presenting off of, and that document, I believe, is going to be offered to you in the chat box so that you can download. You can also get a copy of our ACRE slides and the link to this guidelines document is also located there. Yeah, and I just saw that Kari put that link in the chat box as well. So you can get your hands on this document that we're going to be presenting on today. So I already kind of gave you the history of ACRE, and then there's our website. So what happened was when we first developed our competencies, we were basing them off of APSE's support employment competencies. And then in 2012, the CESP certification adjusted their competencies as in terms of what they were testing on. So ACRE and our members went through our competencies and adjusted those so that we were able to maintain consistency with what the CESP exam is testing on. And that's important because we see ourselves as complementary. We at ACRE are training people to those competencies based on certain standards. And then the CESP exam tests on those competencies. So as a state, you have assurance that these standards are being met, and that the folks that have this certificate and certification are competent in the competencies in terms of what is necessary to be an employment specialist. And by the way, anytime throughout this presentation, if you have questions, we are going to have folks monitoring the chat box. So please feel free to post those questions and even some comments if you guys have some experiences with our certificate or with the CSP certification, or if your state is making such a requirement. It'd be nice to hear from you in terms of kind of what you're doing. And we're going to leave time at the end to address those questions and to relay those comments that you might have. So as you can see, we readjusted those competencies in 2013. And then the WIOA legislation came about. And in there was the definition of customized employment. And so there was, through WINTAC, the technical assistance entity that really supported the WIOA legislation, they came up with the essential elements of customized employment. And so there was a strong interest in having an ACRE certificate that reflected those essential elements of customized employment. And so what we did is we took, there's about 43 elements in that document that was put out by WINTAC. And the ACRE members all broke up into committees, and we reviewed that document in terms of where the competencies were related to the essential elements of customized employment. And we revamped our competencies to be consistent with those essential elements of customized employment, particularly as it relates to the competencies that were shared in that document. So based on the identification of those competencies related to customized employment, we revamped the ACRE competencies to create a second certificate. And that is a basic certificate with an emphasis on customized employment. So now we all, as ACRE member, as ACRE training organizations, offer two different types of basic certificate on employment, and then one on that has an emphasis on customized employment. We have issued over 15,000 certificates to date, and the trend is that more states are requiring either the ACRE certificate or the CESP certification. And but when we were developing this document, there was 14 states that had that requirement. We think since then, a number of other states have also made that requirement, which makes the guidelines that we are going to be presenting today even more important. We also have seen some states try to incentivize the acquisition of this ACRE certificate or the CSP certification. Some states are also offering a stipend for those that successfully complete the training or certification. Others have offered incentives in the way that they establish the rates, that if your employment staff have a certificate or certification, they were offering different rates associated with that. So those are kind of the trends that we're seeing as it relates to this. And we're very excited about all of that, the growing trend of states requiring the that employment specialists have national qualifications. And as you'll hear throughout this presentation, you know, both APSE and ACRE are also very committed to professionalizing our field in terms of these competencies and certification efforts that we're going about. So I'm going to turn it back over to Kari to kind of give you the basic information about the CSP certification. Kari?
Thanks, Dale. I think it's really helpful to have that framing for this conversation. And like Dale mentioned, the document that we'll be going through is really focused on those state initiatives, what's been going well, what have we seen, and what do we need to continue improving on. So APSE, I know I'm looking at the attendee list, see many familiar names. Many of you are members, maybe longtime members. of APSE, which is the Association of People Supporting Employment First. It's been around for over 30 years, focused on real work for real wages for people with disabilities. So employment in the general workforce should be the first and preferred option for individuals with disabilities receiving assistance from publicly funded systems. And we are an organization that supports that effort through professional development, through state chapters, through different events and training, as well as the certification. So thanks, Dale, for introducing the CEFP and kind of where both ACRE training and CEFP certification have gone in tandem. Different states have used them as different tools to support professionals in this field growing as job coaches, as job developers, whatever your title may be. We all know that you have to move between many different realms when you're an employment support professional, working with individuals with disabilities to both obtain and maintain competitive integrated employment in integrated workplaces. So the CEFP is one tool. It is a professional certification that is tied to an individual who sits for the exam and passes it. There are some eligibility requirements to even sit for the exam. So often individuals may even go through their ACRE 40 hours of training in their initial year of working in employment support and then move on to sit for their exam. I see a quote here, and it's actually an attendee that's here, Kate Travis, thank you. So CEFP credential being an important step in building professional recognition of the work being done in this field. So that's really the aim of the credential. It falls under APSE, under the Employment Support Professional Certification Council. So the council was developed to create the exam, to create the credential in a way that we could submit and apply and receive accreditation through the NCCA. With that, those eligibility requirements include a level of education, so high school, diploma, or equivalent or higher, work experience, so you have to have at least 9 months to 1 year of working directly in the field of employment support, as well as signing a code of conduct, and that is what the council has set forth as the requirements since it is a professional credential for the individual. So again, job coaches, job developers, thinking of the many titles that people go by when they work with individuals with disabilities to find and maintain competitive integrated employment. This is very brief information about how to apply for the examination. We are very excited to be making changes to make it even more available, including through remote proctoring, which we're looking to implement in March of this year. So you'll be able to take the examination from your home or office, making sure it meets, security requirements, of course, but very basic instructions that you can find all that information on the APSE.org website, and that's APSE.org/CEFP Central. So very brief information about the credential, and I think Dale and I are excited to jump right into this document and talking about the two groups coming together, thinking about each section of this, including the considerations and circumstances where situations were encountered. But we've dropped that link in the chat a couple of times, so please feel free to access that as we move into some of these state guidelines. Right. Dale, I will hand it back over to you to think about factors.
Thanks, Kari. And again, all this information from here on is in this document around these guidelines. So one of the things that we want states to keep in mind is that when they require the certification or the certificate, is that they keep in mind who all is going to need that certification and what is the time frame that people have to get the training, because we really, in terms of ACRE training organizations, are there's no lack of demand for folks that need ACRE training, and that's a good problem to have. But we would like to see better coordination at state level so that the resources and the capacity to offer this training at the state level or throughout the different states can be addressed. We really see that where the problems have arrived is either when they have the requirement that they need to get this training and get this certificate, and the deadline is such that there isn't enough time to necessarily find the training, have it delivered within those deadlines. So the deadlines is one factor that we've run into and provider organizations have run into in terms of being able to access ACRE training organizations. And of course, actually now that we've been also dealing with the pandemic, some of that has gone virtual, and in some ways more folks have been able to access some training. But when it's offered face-to-face, which is in a lot of cases a preferred method for many people to get the training, the logistics of that in terms of when the training is being offered in relation to when the requirement that people have the certificates has been an issue. Also, what we found is you heard Kari name off the different kinds of folks. And in the document, we also talk about that as well, where, you know, are these job coaches, job developers, transition specialists, job placement personnel, employment specialists, and consultants. That's who the training is intended for. Some states have made the requirement to get the ACRE training for anybody who provides any services to people with disabilities. So that included residential staff and folks that provided supports in workshop settings, and so forth. And we think that the material that we're offering through ACRE and what we test on in the CSD exam is really relevant to anybody who works with folks with disabilities. But when employment isn't part of what you do as a staff person, it makes it much more difficult in terms of some folks don't understand why they're at the training. Some folks don't have access to job seekers or employers to maybe implement some of the skill-based competencies that are needed with the training. So even though we think it's a good idea that everybody should know these competencies and know more about it, especially as we move to more community-based types of services, I think some consideration has to be made to what information is appropriate for them to get and when should they get that information. So those are some of the things that we've run into. And also, you heard Kari talk about the fact that it is a certification. So there needs to be a commitment for ongoing continuing education in order to maintain that certificate. And so access to opportunities for ongoing training and education is also been a challenge for some of the providers in different states. So what we want you to consider is those experiences of those different states, and then really kind of try to create a more unified front in terms of us as training organizations, Kari in terms of the certification, along with building that capacity for folks to be able to access the different types of training. So the next section are questions to consider. Mm-hmm. Yeah, go ahead, Kari.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think part of this presentation is the importance of doing a high-level overview of some of these questions. These are some of the initial conversations to maybe help focus that conversation that Dale's talking about, creating a unified, consistent standard among funding streams, among employers of employment support professionals, and then the professionals themselves, and determine what stakeholders need to be involved, really, with these questions. So thinking about what staff you want to have earn certain certificates or certification, what specific staff do you feel need to have it? Again, we know many direct support professionals working with people with disabilities have to work across many roles. So if it's a rehab or a residential staff, they're not even eligible to earn their CESP because you have to have that work experience of working directly in competitive integrated employment settings. Whereas if they go to the ACRE training, like Dale mentioned, there can be difficulties in getting that hands-on experience that requires the employer buy-in to giving them time and experience to work with job seekers and employers.
Yeah, and when it comes to the state agencies that require either the certificate or the certification, you know, it can be any number of different state agencies. It can be intellectual developmental disability agencies. It can be mental or behavioral health agencies. It can be vocational rehabilitation or the departments of education. All of those state entities in one form or another fund employment services. And so that being the case, we really encourage the various state agencies that have a vested interest in the development and training of the workforce to be on the same page and to kind of in a more unified way look at these requirements that are being asked of the provider organizations and their staff. And so we're not going to read through all of these different questions. You can, you know, do that, follow along with us. But what we do think is that a conversation amongst the different states in terms of what is what should the requirements be, and as state agencies, what might you be able to do to kind of help support the acquisition of this training or getting this certification?
Absolutely. I think that, too, thinking about some of these questions on here are about ongoing support. Dale mentioned for training, mentorship. There's been the question of how long do each of these, the certificate with ACRE or the credential with CESP last? So ACRE is a certificate that you receive and it is, you completed it. Congratulations. You have learned those skills and competencies. You do not need to renew it. But the CESP as a credential requires every 3 years maintenance with a recertification process, showing your commitment to professional development in employment support. So thinking about the trainings that are available in your state and your region, Dale mentioned, certainly a lot of the virtual trainings have made it them so much more available during this transition, but thinking about what supports you need from different state agencies, what do you want your professional staff learning as they continue their training year over year?
Yeah, and what we're also hearing from us is that there is a capacity issue. You know, we are, at ACRE, expanding the number of organizations that are offering a curriculum and offering ACRE certificates, but it is by no means meeting the demand that is out there. And so I think we're looking at different models, different ways that training can be delivered, and different states are also looking at different options, different models in terms of addressing this capacity issue. So we want you all to be aware of the challenge that we have in terms of getting staff trained, but also kind of making a call out for, as state agencies, to work in concert and to not only make the requirement in terms of a certificate or certification, but really run the numbers, come up with a plan. And we'll give you more information, in particularly in the next session, that will really kind of give you a good idea of what to put into a strategic plan around workforce development, staff training. But, you know, the problem exists in terms of the different provider organizations being able to readily access ACRE training and get the get the knowledge that they need to successfully pass the CESP exam. And so anything that state agencies can do to offer an incentive or subsidize the cost or invest in ways to expand the capacity, ACRE is always encouraging and looking for more ACRE members because the only way to be an ACRE member is to be a training organization who's interested in or has developed a curriculum. And so the more and different kinds of curriculum that we have, we think makes our field much stronger because you're getting training and you're getting different ideas about how to address these competencies, and different training organizations are approaching this differently in different and creative ways in terms of the basic skills around discovery and assessment, child development, and workplace supports. So I'll give you a quick example. Vermont, the state VR agency in Vermont, really saw that there was a capacity issue and a need to train and have more ready access to this training for employment specialists, particularly with some of the turnover issues that we have amongst the employment specialists. And so they invested in the development of a curriculum. They also then partnered with their state community college system, and so that the curriculum could be posted on and delivered by the community college throughout the state of Vermont. And so that investment in the development of the curriculum and making that available to the community college is an example of how they addressed that demand that they had. Kari, anything else that you want to talk about in terms of the questions that should be considered by states before we move into the actual guidelines?
There's actually a question that I wanted to make sure we addressed and clarified from chat around the difference between certification or going through, you know, and completing an ACRE certificate and going through the training. How does that work with or different from agency accreditations like CARC? So the training and the credential in which we're talking today are both individually based. So as a professional coming in as a job coach, a job developer, maybe transitioning from another area, you know, working with residential staff, would go through the training to get a basic understanding of employment support, right? And then earn a credential in which it's focused for employment support professionals. But that's for that individual professional. Dale, maybe you want to clarify too a little bit the differences between some of the agency accreditation and some of the more individual at the professional level endeavors.
Yeah, what we have found is that if a state requires something like an ACRE certificate or the CFP certification, then that is something that the CARF reviewers then incorporate into their reviews. So when the state establishes that requirement, then what we're finding is that if you're being CARF accredited and employment services is part of that accreditation, then they're going to ask, what does your state require? And so when and what we're reporting is that more and more states are now having this requirement, it does then fold into a CARF certification that you might get. And then they would be asking, do your employment staff have this particular requirement? Or if all of your staff were required to get the certificate or the certification, you know, what is the status of each and every person that has to have that certificate or certification? What is their status? So that's how we've seen the individual requirements or qualifications of employment specialists kind of get played out when it comes to those certifications like CARF.
That's helpful. Thank you, Dale. I know that's a frequent question that I hear from organizations and from professionals themselves. And I think thinking about CESP, I had mentioned the recertification process of every 3 years. So thinking about that ongoing commitment to training and involvement in employment support. So these guidelines for state agencies, we're really delving now into the guiding questions that can help lead to some of these guidelines if a state is considering writing in competency-based requirements for which personnel. So that would be one of the main places to start, is what are the goals for developing these staff members, which roles need to go through an ACRE training or earn their CESP credential? Who is it appropriate to implement this for?
Right. And if you look at these bullets in terms of these guidelines, they make for the components of a strategic plan. And that's where one of the things we're recommending is that as state agencies who fund employment services, is to consider having a cross-agency strategic plan around staff development. You know, what are the requirements related to ACRE and CSP? We strongly encourage you also to download the actual competencies that we train to at ACRE, because that really gives you a lot of really good information about what employment specialists need to know and what it is they need to do. And if you're aware of that, I mean, I think you can really crosswalk that against the funding that you provide for different services that are delivered on behalf of your agencies when it comes to employment. And so, you know, look at that. How many people need this training? What agencies should be aware of and support the qualifications of the workforce? And then what kind of training is available in your state to meet that capacity?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we've mentioned different pieces of all of this. So a mix of training methodologies, who will be providing it? Do you have that capacity, or do you need to look at external training or writing it in as requirements? Thinking about the continuing education, that's what we keep mentioning, so that ongoing requirement.
Yeah, and some of that can be folded in if you're aware of what people need to know because of the competencies that are offered, both for ACRE and the CSP. You know, your state, if you're a state agency and you have state conferences, or if you're an APSE chapter, you know, you could start to think about and be a little more proactive in the offering of specific topics that really could support that continuing education. Because that's one of the things, like particularly with customized employment, we think that's a very exciting newer type of service that is now available for job seekers with disabilities. However, the skills that it takes to be really effective at customized employment is something that needs to be developed over time. So this notion of getting the basic certificate, that's what it is. It gives you the basic information that you need to be an employment specialist. But what about that further development of those skills over time? And how can we develop and nurture that? And so what another thing that we're seeing as in different states is particularly through provider associations or APSE chapters are communities of practice. You know, pulling people together and focusing on specific competencies. I've been asked by a number of different states to develop a community of practice, particularly around job development, and pulling people together. So once they have this basic information, how do they further develop their knowledge and skills? And what could be done at the state level to really kind of encourage that? And that mixing of training methodologies, you know, we've all had to kind of go to more virtual because of COVID. But as we're kind of coming out of this, we really do think that those mixed hybrid types of training can be very effective, where some of it is face-to-face and some of it is online. We're also kind of starting to look at guidelines at ACRE for when and how organizations might be able to train their own staff to get ACRE certificates. And we want to make sure that those guidelines, those standards are still being met, but that we can push some of the development and the delivering of this curriculum down into states and down into organizations. So real quick example.
Yeah, I think you're right, too, on.
Go ahead, Kari.
I was going to say, using both the CESP and ACRE competencies and the content domain to support some of the hiring and then retention of personnel, those are very helpful tools to think about writing it into a job description upon hire and putting some of those expectations of the laddering approach of upon 1 year, you'll have completed your basic ACRE certificate, as an example, and then moving on to different areas to continue your growth and using those competencies to allow professionals to really decide where they want to pick and choose to grow in is really exciting when it can be done well. But I think, unfortunately, some of the things that we have not seen is a lack of incentives, such as increased reimbursements or the rate of pay trickling down to the professional. So thinking about different ways to implement this where it doesn't have unintended consequences, you know, putting requirements in place that are either the timeline doesn't make sense, you know, asking someone to earn their CESP before 1 year and they're not eligible until 1 year, as an example, or not providing that other side of the coin too when it's a financial incentive to those that are continuing their learning. There was a question in here, having this training should make you more valuable with your organization, correct? Correct. Going through ACRE trainings, earning your certificates, earning your CESP, passing the exam are these stamps of approval that you're committing yourself to employment support and being a professional in this field. So I always encourage CESPs. I think we need to talk about it more. Job developers and employment support professionals are really skilled at negotiating and leveraging the skills of job seekers, but need to do it for themselves too and grow this professional field.
Yeah, absolutely, Kari. Besides competency-based job descriptions, you know, evaluating performance based on those same competencies to give people feedback and then offering them access to more training and information so that they can grow those skills over time is really important. And that's what we think is part of the solution to this turnover issue that we have amongst DSPs and employment specialists, is professionalizing this field and having them feel like when they have a certificate or the certification, that does make them marketable. And the other thing that we're really strongly encouraging is career ladders, that where can a DSP go? And some organizations that we've been working with have created ladders within their organizations, a DSP 1, 2, an employment specialist level 1, level 2, where part of this notion of mentoring and developing new staff, that can be part of their responsibility. So there's a lot of different ways that we can professionalize the field more, help people understand that this is getting people jobs is a very challenging, difficult work that we do, and it does require good training and support to be successful. And all of these guidelines, like I said, should help you kind of think through what is a good state strategic plan for the workforce. It's not just enough to have the requirement that people get these qualifications, but really kind of support them in those efforts to do so. So with that, you know, as you can imagine, one of the things that are lacking in and a call for more research by anybody that's hearing this that can help with this is, we do know anecdotally that when people have this training and develop these skills over time, that we do get better community integrated employment outcomes. And that when people do feel invested in and more confident what they do, is that their retention increases and turnover goes down. But we do need studies and that's the one thing that organizations haven't been able to pay for is it's enough to pay to get the training, but to fund the evaluation of that training long term, is something that is needed in our field greatly. So I'd love to see some more research in that area. And I know that ACRE and Kari, I think you would agree, we would love to participate in those kinds of studies so that we can demonstrate the efficacy of the training and the certifications that we're providing. So with that, I think we'll wrap this up.
Yeah. I was going to say a few action steps. Perfect. Thank you, Dale, for that kind of call for research. I know that that is a main talking point that we always come back to, this need. So if you're on this call and you already have your ACRE certificate or hold your CESC certification, you see the value in it. You recognize that going through trainings and, you know, affirming your commitment through ongoing training and advocate, you know, for others in your organization, others in your state to go through these trainings, to earn their certification, to participate in their own professional development. But if you don't, you know, you haven't gone through an ACRE training, you're less familiar with it, or your CESC certification, this is new to you, you know, please go to the ACRE and the APSE website. There's plenty of information. You can get involved with both of our organizations in many ways.
And
so,
then another another call to action is at the state level. If your state does require employment staff to have an ACRE certificate or CSP certification, those state agencies need to review these guidelines. And what you should do, we recommend is you advocate that support and resources be made available when it comes to this requirement that they have in your state. And if your state does not require an ACRE certificate and certification, but you see it as a valuable credential, encourage or advocate with those state agencies to make to review these guidelines and to have a requirement around obtaining the certificate or certification. And again, where we can get state support and resources to do that. So a quick example of that is when Colorado passed their Employment First legislation, they built in money so that there was a stipend for individuals that when they successfully completed the training, they could be reimbursed. And I think the same with when they demonstrated that they did get the CSP certification, that they could be reimbursed. And ACRE, when they approached us and said, we're going to be offering this stipend and we want people in the state to get this training, ACRE put out a registry of all the ACRE members that were interested and willing to provide training in Colorado. And we think that's also really important because some states have a training organization and they stick with that one organization. And we strongly encourage that each state has multiple ACRE training organizations working and providing training in your state because there's a cross-pollination of ideas and different ways that people can address these competencies. And the state and the individual provider organizations are better and richer when they get information from different types of training organizations. So with that, I think we'll go ahead and wrap this up and see if we have any other questions that we can answer before we conclude the webinar.
Great. Thank you, Kari and Dale. This was a really great presentation, and I will be facilitating a few questions. So, Dale, I think you mentioned this a little bit, but just wanted to confirm, is there a fidelity model for this certification?
Is there a fidelity model for the certification? Yeah, so one of the things that, yeah, go ahead, Rose.
Do
you want to kind of elaborate on that a little bit? Okay, well, if I understand the question right, I think what they're saying is after they get this training, is there some effort at fidelity in terms of how well do they understand how to implement the different strategies, the use of the tools related to the training. And that really is up to each individual acre training organization to put together something that could be used as either a fidelity checklist or some sort of tool that after an individual finishes the training and they go about the business of getting somebody a job, they could use that tool to assess whether they're implementing the different strategies effectively, and effective use of the different tools as well. So, I know of different ACRE training organizations that do have a fidelity checklist, and that's something that really, I think, complements the training that's being offered. But to be clear, what ACRE is certifying is that there was 40 hours of instruction on the competencies that were needing to be addressed, all of those competencies being addressed, and that the skill-based competencies were all effectively applied. Because ACRE training organizations provide the training and then they're gone. So there's no way for them to stick around, but that fidelity checklist is a way to better ensure that the training is taking hold and that they're doing it right.
Okay, thank you. So this individual says that they have both the CESP and the ACRE, but they are wondering if they should keep their CESP up to date, or is it not needed as they already have the ACRE?
No, good
question.
That's a good question.
Yeah, I think it gets to the heart of what the requirements are in your state and also what you want to maintain. So ACRE, like we said, is you earn the certificate and then it's good. You don't have to renew it. Certainly, I think, Dale, you would say ACRE encourages continuing your training once you're done with either the basic or professional level certificate. But CESP does require 36 hours of ongoing continuing education over 3 years. So that's an hour a month when you break it down. And that is your commitment to your ongoing professional development. Also, one of the reasons why states are writing it in as a requirement. You know, you can go in, look at the directory, see who is currently maintaining their CESP, which means that they have, you know, either sat for the exam and then after a 3-year period need to continue to show their competence in employment support.
Yeah, and when it comes to that continuing education, ACRE does have plans to offer a suite of professional level certificates that would usually be 20 hours of instruction on very specific topics like employer engagement, systematic instruction and task analysis, self-employment. And so ACRE members are at this time in the process of looking at different competencies so that once those competencies are established, different ACRE members could develop a curriculum around those professional level certificates. So we want to support CESP's continuing education by offering some of these professional level certificates. But at this point in time, those certificates are still in development.
All right, we're going to sneak in one last question here, and it's kind of a three-parter. It says, is there any option for an online self-guided option and or a one-week course to complete the 40 hours?
Yeah, so for ACRE, the answer is no. There really isn't, and the reason is the skill-based competencies. We really feel very strongly as particularly the ACRE board, that we really need to have individuals apply the most important competencies around discovery, job development, and workplace supports. And those skill-based competencies need to be applied. So trainees need to work with individuals. They need to work with employers. They need to apply these things. And so they need time to do that. So they can't just rush through it with a self-paced course. They really need that instruction by an instructor, and they need to implement some of these strategies and get feedback from the instructor after they do so. So it's very difficult to kind of rush through because of the skill-based competencies that need to be trained on.
Okay, thank you.
Is there another part to that? Okay. No.
Well, they were just asking about if you could do it online and if you could complete it in a one-week course. But I think you covered all of that,
see.
And I know you mentioned earlier some of the online things. Okay, so we are out of time for today, but I did want to take a moment to thank eConsys for hosting the webinar today. Also wanted to thank Dale and Kari for their great presentation. And thank you to all you for being here and watching. If you don't mind, we would be really appreciative if you could fill out our feedback form so we can get some feedback about how we did today and get some input from you about some topics that might be of interest to you in the future. Please tune in next month for our Employment First Community of Practice webinar. It'll be about an online dialogue that ODEP held back in October and about some strategies that providers are using during this pandemic that we find ourselves in right now. So again, thank you. And if you're not already subscribed, please subscribe to our community of practice so you can stay up to date on everything that's happening. Take care, everyone. Have a good day.